spoken not to the good English, the Italian, you know, we don't speak the good English. And we went to the doctor's office, and he did a little dental work on me while I was here in Roseburg. And now I can speak a bad English, fixing my mouth up and making me happy. You like it to be happy? I do. Praise the Lord. Well, I got to figure out what to do up here. Praise the Lord. Anyway, I noticed a little boy down here. Where we got to turn this on? Little boy down here, he saw this little trumpet. And he came up here ready to grab it. And I went, psst, psst. He looked at me. I said, sit down, I said. He sat down over and looked over me, gave me a dirty look. Boys like to investigate, especially little trumpets. Reminds me one day when I was driving along going to a church on the coast, and Nita and I went by this Happy Baptist Church. You ever seen the Happy Baptist Church? Oh, they're all over the place. And they had a signboard up there that says, it was an Adventist slogan. And when I saw it, I wanted to stop and play my trumpet. It said, when you hear the last trumpet blow, we're out of here. Well, anyway, that is Gabriel. Freddie's home, resting, and the little silver one is Charlie. I about wore him out, and he's leaking all over the thing. And so I brought Gable. He's the newest, because I've come to the Roseburg Church, and that's an important church to go to. And I had a sign that I made up figuring, have you seen these people standing on the corner of holding signs up, hungry, all kinds of sad signals to impress you to give money? Being a positive believing Christian, I like a more positive approach. And I thought, well, I get to the place where I might have to, I have to give a little stand on the corner and raise some money, you know. I thought I would try this. Let's see what it looks like to you. Help! Have trumpet, we'll play. Hungry. Bless you. I think I can probably raise more money than they were on that approach, don't you? I know, because we did it one day. We were coming from the Olive Garden. Have you ever heard of the Olive Garden? Italian restaurant. We come from Olive Garden. We saw this fellow standing out there. It says, smile. Then he flipped it down and says, hungry. Anita gave him $2 instead of one. Normally give him one. She gave him two. So I like that approach better. So I thought a person can double their wages by having a better approach. Okay. Today, people everywhere we go throughout our country and our travels are of a fearful heart. Have you noticed that today? Rightly so. Our country is being undermined and destroyed by the effects of a departing from our values and principles that America was founded upon. Prophecy is being fulfilled right before us. Can you see that, folks? Right on our television, prophecy being fulfilled. The flood of spiritual decay and immorality threatens even the leadership in which our country depends upon. United States of America still stands as one nation, indivisible, under God, with liberty and justice for all. How many believe that? I do. In fact, I might even want to sing about it. Would you sing with me this song? God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above, from the mountains, through the prairies, to the oceans, white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for living in America and in a place where we can have freedom to worship and to plan and to evangelize our world around the world through America. Thank you for blessing us, for giving us the joy of answered prayer and your presence today. We ask, believe, and claim Luke 11:13 and fulfillment of this. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank Pastor Lyle. Where are you? I saw him back there. You know, I understand, talking behind the scenes, that it's really rare that you have an outside speaker come in here and speak, because you got so much going on here. And, you know, he doesn't know me too well. You know, and who knows what he's going to have. But I think he's probably got some inside information, and he read my book. There's a little book. Where is my book? Oh, Anita wrote a book on the story of my life called Johnny the Little Apple Picker and His Big God. And the story today I want to share with you is chapter 22 in this book. And the secretary will have a, if you ever want a book, she'll have a list that she has. They're going to leave some here for you. But anyway, it is an exciting book. It is changing lives. We're now running our second run on this book already. The first run only lasts about 3-4 months, and we're all out of them. But praise the Lord, the stories that I share are life-changing, motivating, inspiring, and educational stories to teach people how to be winsome for Christ. We need to win people to Christ. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Praise the Lord. Well, anyway, I'm going on a trip now, and we're going to go up to the top of a mountain. I visited a fellow in the hospital. His wife was in surgery. I was the publishing director in Idaho Conference. He was in L.E., been there for 30 years working door-to-door, and his wife had to have emergency surgery the next morning. I went up to the hospital Sunday evening, visited them, and I changed my plans for the week. I said, Bob, I'm going to change my plans. Don't you worry about working this week. Stay by your wife's side, and I'll go work for you. I'll go a couple hundred miles out of town to a little town called Burns. And him and I cried, and his wife cried, and we had prayer, and I left. Well, now you're coming with me on my day in my little rolling evangelistic car. My Honda Accord. A little loud, but I have to get it loud enough for you people in the back to hear. God and I are in one accord. But on the way, I had said goodbye to my wife, and I got my lunch. But I was out of the house by 5:30, and I drove up to 150 miles to the top of this pass before I drop into Burns. Anyway, as I went up there, I was decided to stop and have worship. The sun was just barely creeping over the top of the mountains of the big canyon up there, and I got out. It was kind of dark. And have you ever been alone in the mountains? Kind of scary. You're just a little thing, and all those animals, the wild animals out there, lurking in the dark. You know, I think, oh Lord, protect me. But I took my Bible, and I took my little horn and my little music box with batteries. And I stood out there, and I started opening my Bible, decided it's time to have worship. You see, if God is going to work with me that day, I wanted a miracle day. I'll tell you a little bit about it in a minute. And I said, you want a miracle day, you've got to spend time with me to really get into my spirit. I said, oh, yes, Lord. So anyway, I turned into my Bible to Isaiah 52:7. Started looking around to see where God needed to speak to me about. And this is the one I found on the mountaintop. As I looked over the cliff, I started reading out loud. And I always put my name into scripture. Have you ever done that? They're very personal, the scriptures. John, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. God, thank you so much. I'm a sinner. I'm here. I'm coming. Thank you for forgiveness and mercy to me. All I am is just a little apple picker. That's in my book. How could you help a little apple picker like me? That's all I can do, Lord. And here I'm out in the publishing work, working from home to home. My thoughts are not your thoughts, John. Nor are your ways my ways. I know that, Lord, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. Isn't God telling the truth there? We have to be lifted up into his thoughts by grace. For as the rain comes down, now I grew up on a farm, a little apple ranch, you know. As the rains come down and the snow from heaven, I seen that in the farm, and does not return there, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud. God, I've witnessed that as a boy growing up in the farm. Nature, the water, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall, listen to this, this is really important here. John, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it will prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy. Amen. That's the part I like. When his word captures my heart, my mind, it brings a gift of joy, God's unconditional joy. God loves me. Amen. And you will be led out with peace. I needed peace that day to know how and when to do God's will, to make every move count for him. The mountains and hills shall break forth into singing before you. Before you, all the trees of the fields will clap their hands. And I looked around, and it's getting light enough, I can just see a little breeze, and the trees are going like this. They're clapping their hands. Isn't that wonderful? God, the Holy Spirit, is moving the limbs through the wind. Isn't the wind described as the Holy Spirit? And it was clapping their hands, praising the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. Lord says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Yes, sir, Lord. As I stood there in the cliff overlooking the valley alone with God, I prayerfully asked him for a favor. You ever ask God for a favor? I do. I said, would you help me today, Lord, to have a whole week's worth of sales and orders for Bob and Rachel in one day? Why did I want that? Because then I can go back and finish my other plans I'd made for the other workers. I'm asking an awful lot. It takes a whole week's worth of wages in one day. It's got to be a miracle. Then I was led in Psalms 27, 1, 4, and 6. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The one thing I ask of you, Lord, and the one thing I seek is to stay close to you today and all the days of my life and behold the beauty of your character and be able to walk in your temple. And I was standing right in the middle of God's temple. Mountains and trees and nature is God's temple. Where God's Spirit is his temple. How many say amen to that? Is Roy Gregory here? Raise your hand. Roy, you're supposed to say amen. We made that arrangement beforehand. I said, if I say something good, Roy, you say amen. Because I don't repeat myself. Isaiah 42, 23, it says, sing for the joy, O heavens, for the Lord hath done this. Burst into songs, you mountains, you forests, and all you trees, for the Lord hath redeemed you. His displays of his glory is in the mountains. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I love you. As I stood there, I had worship. I had my prayer claiming the promises of the Bible for a miracle day. And I also felt now it's time to release what I received. You believe, receive. You need to release it in praise and adoration and in song. So I stood there all alone on that mountaintop. I grabbed my little horn. And I sang this little testimonial song. And I'm not a singer, but if you know, you can sing with me. Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin, who takes away the sin of the world. I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God who takes away the sin of the world. I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove. I saw the Spirit descending, and he remained upon him.
Behold.
It was so wonderful. It echoed back from those mountains, canyons, and I heard the song come back to me. And the birds and crickets and all of nature started waking up. It got a little noisy out. Before it was so quiet, you could hear a pin drop. But now it was, birds were singing and rejoicing. You know, the birds sing praises as they go to work. I heard another sound up above. Oh! Couple great big hawks circling above me, like a couple 747 jets, circling up to the big wing. I didn't know if they were scolding me or what. They never heard a trumpet before. Anyway, they circled around. I said, "Hi up there, how you doing? My name's John." They landed in a big balcony seat up in some trees. Continued to squawk at me. And I thought, well, what are they saying, Lord? I don't know bird language too well. Then I discovered what they were saying. They were saying, "More. More, John." That's bird language. I knew it was, so I took my little trumpet. I said, "I'll sing and play you a little song up there. Just hang tight." Wide as the ocean, high as the heavens above, deep, deep as the deepest sea, is my Savior's love. I, though so unworthy, still I'm a child of his care. For his word teaches me that his love reaches me ever. Now sing with me. Getting into it, all of us up there in the mountains, rejoicing in the Lord. What does it say? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I didn't want to go. And the Holy Spirit was telling me, "Now, John, the other half of worship now is I got to use your hands, your feet, your heart, your lips. You got to go down and perform now worship with the people. God, I don't want to. I want to stay another hour. This is so much fun being up here with you." And, oh, you ever been with somebody you don't want to leave? It's the way it is with God. You spend enough time with him. Sometimes God uses nature to get his point across. And it sounded like a hungry wolf. Didn't it sound a little hungry to you? And he got my attention, God did. And I said, God, I'm out of here. I'm leaving. I'm going to obey. So I gathered up my equipment, put it in my car, shut the door, and got in the car real quickly because the wolves were getting closer. So jumped in my rolling evangelistic center, my Honda Accord, and off I went to do the other half of worship and ask, believe, and claim, and work my heart out to make it a miracle day. You know, soul winning and working for the Lord does take hard work. You sweat a little bit, and you pray a lot. You agonize, and you communicate and love, be kind, all these things to helping people. You know what I'm talking about. As part of the lessons we taught here when we had our soul winning classes. Remember that? I got down into Burns, and I started working. I had some old fare cards, 2 or 3 years old. 2 or 3 year old cards. And I contacted these people in person. I didn't call them because it's easier to say no to a person on the phone than it is to reject a smile. You know, you smile, it's hard to say no to a smile. You know, happy face. Anyway, so I was up in Sunshine Mountain, so now I had smiles, my heart, it just radiated. So I knocked on doors and I lined up 4 different appointments. 6 o'clock, 7:30, and at 9 o'clock. My evening was all booked up. I like to make appointments with the husband and wife together and the family, because I deal with the family, helping families draw close to God, to each other, and helping their children. You see, when we learn to love God supremely, we can love each other effectively. Amen? Anyway, as I began to that, then I had time for lunch. 1:30. Went over to the little park there, sat down, and opened up my poke. You know what a poke is? The lunch pail. My wife always makes beautiful lunches in my poke. Always surprised. What's she making me this time? She made a nice sandwich, so I sat there and ate my sandwich with the Lord. And a couple other things, and I closed it up, and I didn't want to take any more time. I said, God, I'm here 1:30, and I haven't made one sale for Bob. I'm getting nervous. I'm under a lot of stress, Lord. Help me to calm down and have peace. But I did make those 4 appointments. Anyway, I went on the edge of town, started looking for a place to start knocking on doors. And I went to this one street. The Holy Spirit said, turn down this street. So I turned down the street and I saw a little boy down the street with a couple of girls standing around. He was he couldn't go on his bicycle. He had a training wheel. Its wheel wouldn't go anywhere. And the Holy Spirit says, stop, help the little boy. God, I can't, I'm under pressure. I gotta make some sales for Bob. Help the little boy. So I pulled over and I got out, my suit on. I said, what's the matter, little fella? He says, my back wheel won't go. And I seen his chain was off. So, okay, let me fix it. So I went, took my coat off, put it in the car, came back, and got my hands all greasy. Got down there, got that chain around that sprocket, spun the wheel, got it back on, put him on the sidewalk where it was level. I said, now try it. He took off, said, thank you, mister, thank you. I'm standing there with greasy hands. And I said to the girls, do you live in that house? They said, yes. What's your mother's name? Barbara. Is she home? Yeah. Well, let me go wash my hands. I'll come and meet your mother. So I went in and got my Windex. You know, Windex is good for cleaning grease. You ever tried it, fellas? Yeah, grease, clean all the hands up. Put on my coat, got my case, went up to the door. Just as I was knocking at the door, just about knocked on the door, she opened the door, the mother did. She knew I was coming. And so I just kindly, with a big smile, says, my name is John Silvestri. I'm from the Home Health Education Service. We're visiting all the families in the community and sharing with some of the free information how to teach children values and principles and to bind the family together. She broke down and wept. I said, Barbara, did I say anything wrong? She said, no, please come in. Went and sat down across from her on the couch with the 2 girls. And in her tears, she told me that she'd been on her knees for more than 2 hours, begging God to have somebody help her. Was I there by accident, folks? No, no. There's a statement in Desire of Ages. It says this: Jesus knows us individually and is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows us by name. He knows the very house in which we live in and the name of each occupant. He has at times given directions to his servants to go to a certain street in a certain city to such a house to find one of his lost sheep. The distress of everyone touches his heart. The cry for aid reaches his ear. He bids them, follow me, and his spirit moves upon their hearts to draw them to come to him. He cares for them as though there was not another person on the face of the earth. How many say amen to that? How many times I've read that and went back to my mind that God led me to that home. It was a divine appointment, a divine encounter by God. And I said to Barbara, you know what she's crying about? She was thinking about suicide. Depression came over. Depression is a forerunner of serious things down the road. Why was she depressed? She said 3 months before, her husband had shot himself in front of the girls in the living room. And the devil was telling her all the time, you know, as she was grieving and mourning, it's your fault, you're no good. You know how the devil does? Have the devil ever whispered in your ears those thoughts? He does it all the time, if you let him. No, siree. And I said, no, Barbara, God sent me here to help you. He answered his prayer. She just sobbed. And we prayed. I said, Barbara, as we talked a little bit, I gave her a prescription of how to overcome her depression. You ever heard that little prescription of making a list of 10 things to be thankful for? We've taught that in our seminars. Stick it on the kitchen. So we made up a list of 10 things to be thankful for. She had a good job. She had her two children, two girls. And she had a home. She had everything. So many things to be thankful for. We stuck it on her refrigerator. All day long, you go back and reread that. After 21 days, it'll be a habit. You start thinking positive thoughts instead of negative thoughts. Amen? That's the work of a Christian. Anyway, when I got all through that, I was ready to go. I had a little prayer with her, and just before I picked up my case, she says, oh, by the way, what do you have in your case? Oh, I plumb forgot. I didn't even show her the Bible story. I told her I was going to give her, I got it signed up for some Bible studies, and I was going to have somebody in the community to come by and help her. I got that all arranged, but then I pulled out my Bible stories and started showing her the benefits of the Bible stories. And the pictures, the easy-to-read language, the shortness of stories, one day and two on Sunday or so, you can read the Bible in 1 year, take your children through the Bible several times by the time they're teenagers, and when they get older, they'll have a resource of material in their mind that you pray for them, and they pray, they'll have a resource of material to help them make the right positive choices. Amen? Anyway, I gave you a little canvas. Anyway, she bought a whole library and paid cash, Desire of Ages, and she got a Bible course. She didn't want me to leave. Why didn't she want me to leave? Because angels were there in that house that day. I didn't want to go, but I said, Barbara, I got 4 appointments I got to go to. But I'll contact you after I get back from home. So I went to those 4 appointments. get my place where I was supposed to be at. Oh, here we go. 4:30. I made over Dave and Rachel's place. They had 3 children. Praise, I love kids. I love these children's stories. That's why I get down there and sit right with them. Get right in the middle of those kids. That's right. I love children. And then they bought a whole library, signed up for a Bible course, mom and dad. Bought a whole big library of about $400. Then I went at 6 o'clock to Jack and Mary's place. Now, I didn't have much time to waste between time, you know. And they had 2 children. They were Baptists in Burns, Oregon. And they bought a whole big library, 2 Bible studies, and 2 children were as happy as could be. 6 o'clock, Jack and Mary, Bob and Susan, they had 5 kids. They were LDS family. You know, they have big families, you know that. Big families. They bought a whole library and Desire of Ages and Great Controversy, and they signed up for a Bible course. And they were so happy, and I left there just thrilled. Now, 3 families in a row bought big, beautiful libraries. 9 o'clock was Grandpa and Grandma. How many grandpas and grandmas we got here? Raise your hand. I am one too, but I loved grandmas and grandpas because they've been through life long enough to know the tragedies and pitfalls parents have if they don't teach their children right. And so they always are investing in things to help the parents, the grandchildren, and the parents of their children to help raise their children. So they bought 2 great big libraries, and they had 4 grandchildren, 2 at each home. So they bought their libraries and got all through. When I completed, my day with God. It was 10:15 p.m. in the evening. Wow, I was late. Realizing I had no place to stay, I drove over to the only motel in Burns, Oregon. And guess what? It's full. And I'm freezing out there. It was 28 degrees outside at the time. I'm full, no place to stay. And I sleep in my car. I've done that many times. It's going to be cold tonight. So I got to the phone booth. I decided to go after some counsel. How many, when you get in a situation, need to have counsel? Yeah, we all do at times. And I have a counselor. I married one. She's always counseling me. She's a good teacher, though. The reason I like her counseling is because I know she loves me. She's always trying to help me be a better person. So I gets on the phone. I call her up at 10:15. I hope she hasn't gone to bed by now. So anyway, first ring. Come on, Lord, help her not to be asleep. Oh, Lord, I need some help, Lord. I have a dilemma I need some counsel on, Lord. Please help me. She might be asleep. Finally, she woke, answered the phone. I said, hi, how you doing tonight? Fine, how are you doing? I said, fine. I got a dilemma. What's your dilemma? Well, I tell you, I came to here and I forgot to get my motel. And I got all through tonight. And I went over there and they're filled up and have no place to stay. Oh. And I said to her in a very, I tried my best in a salesman approach, made this comment. Can I come home? I said it very humble like, you know. Can I come home? And, you know, she's a very solid Christian. She says, Johnny, you made a commitment to Bob and Rachel at the hospital that you would work this week and earn their income. I said, I know it. I know it. Can I come home? She says, have you sold anything yet today for Bob? I knew that was coming. I was waiting for it. Hallelujah. I said, yeah, yes, you know, guess what? I had a wonderful time up on Sunshine Mountain with God. And down here, every home I went to, people purchased full, complete libraries. Well over a week's worth of sales for Bob and two contracts for two other LEs. Isn't God wonderful? And then I said, can I come home? I'm still trying my best. You have to persevere, you know, when you want to get some answers, you know. She was quiet for a moment. Then she says, yes, you can come home. But you remember, what time are you going to get home? I said, probably 2:30 in the morning or 3. She said, well, you're going to be tired. Oh, no, I'm so excited now. I got half of my lunch to eat, and I'll make it home. I'll be okay. If I do, I'll pull over on the side. So she said, okay, you come home, but drive carefully now. Wow. Just think. By the time I got home, it was a 16-hour day. Like I say, when you're a soul winner, sometimes you have to work your heart out. But God worked a miracle day for me, and it was all toward the end of the day. I had to persevere and not see anything until toward the end of the day when God answered my prayer. Isn't God wonderful? A little apple picker like me, and all I could do is pick apples. And now he made me a literature evangelist and a leader. And he'd worked a miracle again. Over and over again, he's done that to me as being a soul winner for him. Isn't God wonderful? Well, anyway, I gets in my little rolling evangelistic center by Honda. And off I go to home. And I want to share something. Now, you're learning something as I share this story. This is more of a seminar, not a sermon. You're learning lessons. One of the things I made a practice in my life, I do it every night before I go to sleep. I think back on the last day of all the little nuggets and tidbits and all the things that God has blessed my life with and opportunities I've had to talk to people, share, visit, whatever, during that day. So on the way home, I started reviewing what God had done for me that day. And you know, it all started the night before when I visited Bob and Rachel in the hospital. And I told Bob to stay home and be with his queen, right? We all have queens as married fellows. How many of you got queens here? I got a queen, Queen Anita. Stay with your queen, and I'll go out and work for you. That was a commitment for me to work for Bob. Then the mountaintop worship with God, studied and prayed and praised the Lord, even played a number to the hawks. Everybody around that was willing to listen. The hawks were willing to listen. Hallelujah. Then from that mountaintop experience, about an hour and a half or more up there, I came to the valley. And the appointment I had with Bonnie and her two girls, divine appointment. Now she is a very happy Christian, attended a seven-day Glad Adventist Church in Eastern Oregon. How many say amen to that? Husband, of course, had died, but she's now, I believe, married again and happy. Glad Adventist, isn't that wonderful? It's nice to have happy endings. The ministry of the four families all purchased libraries and signed up for Bible courses. I turned them over to the pastor in that area, and he followed up with Bonnie and took care of her. And to be able to give Bob and Rachel their week's earnings, and most of all, the oneness between God and I in answering my prayer and my desire, my heart, to come and work with the others more than what I humanly could have done without God. Most important part is I got to know and walk with God. This day, with a page from my book, chapter 22, this story, you'll find it in this book, Johnny the Little Apple Picker. We're leaving a bunch with the secretary. If any of you'd like to get that book later on this week, you're sure welcome to get them. Co-Porter Ministry, daily strike up a song about the charms of the Son of God. Charm people to the Lord. Let the beauty of Jesus shine into your lives. The first thing in the morning, drink in the nutriments and vitamins of His Word, and let the sunshine of His presence melt your heart. Then, like the flower that glows in their beauty, giving the wonderful fragrance to everybody, go out and be radiant to the world the beauty and truth about God and loving Jesus. Sing it with me. Hold on a little longer, my friend. Hold on a little longer and don't give in. Jesus has promised His love to the end. Hold on a little longer, my friend. Hold on a little longer, my friend. As communicators of the gospel, you have to have a lot of wind to hold those notes out. And Adventists do have a lot of wind, because they're sharing the gospel. This church is very special to us. Our hearts were here. We've carried Roseburg with us all over our travels. We love you very much, Anita and I do. We wish we could be here with you permanently. Maybe someday that'll happen. We're looking for a place to retire. We are retired, but kind of refired. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this glorious moment that I can share with them. The joy you've given me in changing my world one person at a time. Thank you for nature and the beauty of nature to reveal to us how much you love us and want to make our lives happy. But most of all, thank you for you and for being our very best friend today. In Jesus' name, amen.